Long ago, when I was a very young tomte, I went to stay at my grandmother's house to learn how to bake pepparkakor, Swedish gingerbread. For my grandmother made the most irresistible pepparkakor. The spices were just right so that it felt as if you were biting into Christmas itself. I went to visit her in October, but I had to wait until the snow began to fall, for she would say to me, "Kajsa, no one in their right mind makes pepparkakor before there is snow on the ground." So we waited. October came and went, but there was no snow. November came and went, and still the ground was dry and bare. At last, when it was December, I turned to her one night and I said, "Mormor, what has happened to the snow?" She put down her knitting needles and the white mitten she was making. She did not say anything at first, and then at last she replied, "Kajsa, someone must have stolen the first snowflake of winter from King Frost and Queen Snow. King Frost and Queen Snow live beyond the edge of the world. They live east of the sun and west of the moon. They live in a palace of gingerbread atop a mountain of ice. Someone," she said, looking right at me, "someone ought to go to them, find out what has happened to the first snowflake of winter, and bring it back." That was all she said. It gave me a strange feeling, and that night my dreams were strange. But when I awoke, I felt happy, for I smelled pepparkakor baking. But outside, the ground was brown. My grandmother had three things laid out on the table at my place. There was one heart-shaped pepparkaka. There was a little wooden dala hest, a horse carved and painted orange. And there was the pair of white mittens. "What are these for, Mormor?" "These are for your journey," she said. "Someone ought to go to King Frost and Queen Snow and bring back the first snowflake of winter." My Mormor is not the kind of grandmother that you argue with, and so I put them in my pocket, the pepparkaka, the wooden horse, and the white mittens, and I began to walk. I did not know how to find the edge of the world, but the birds told me, "Ask the wind, ask the west wind." Everywhere I went, I listened for the sound of the wind. I went west, west, always west, listening for the wind to grow wilder, until at last I could walk no farther, for there was the edge of the world before me. It dropped off into nothing, and below I heard the wind howling in the darkness. "Wind," I called, but my voice was too small. He could not hear me. But then I remembered that no one can resist my Mormor's pepparkakor. I pulled the heart-shaped cookie out of my pocket, and I broke it into three pieces. I tossed one out over the edge of the world and waited. Sure enough, the wind came rushing up so wild that I was almost afraid. "Little tomte, I have never tasted pepparkakor such as this. Anything you wish, I will do it for you." "Then you must take me to the palace of King Frost and Queen Snow, east of the sun and west of the moon," I told him. "Then climb on my back, little tomte, and we shall fly." And out we flew over the edge of the world. We flew so fast, we went past the stars in the sky. We went past the sun and the moon. We went past the day and the night, out, out into nothing. I could feel the wind beginning to grow weak. His breath became ragged. "Wind, there it is. That must be it." I pointed up ahead, and there was an island floating in the darkness, with a mountain as clear as glass rising up into the clouds. The wind spat me out on the sandy shore with the last breath he had and laid down to sleep. I walked up the mountain and oof, I fell down again. I tried every way I could think, but I could not scale that mountain of ice. It was slick and smooth and my feet slipped. I ran and I tumbled and everything fell out of my pockets. The white mittens, the two pieces left of the pepparkaka, and the little wooden horse. And I thought, No one can resist my grandmother's pepper cockor. Perhaps not even a little Dollahest. So I held out one piece of the cookie to the little horse. It seemed to be my imagination, but no, the horse moved and the pepper cocker was gone. The little wooden horse trembled in the sand, and when I looked again, it had grown. It stood as tall as my knee, and then suddenly as tall as my waist, and then as tall as me, and then there was a full-sized horse, very much alive still, painted bright orange. The horse stamped his hooves in the sand as if to say, climb on my back. So I did, and up we went, up the side of the mountain of ice, through the clouds. On the other side of the clouds was the most beautiful palace I had ever seen. The walls were made of rich brown gingerbread. Candy canes made a fence around the outside. Frosting like a thick blanket of snow covered the rooftops, and every turret, every spire, was decorated with a colorful gumdrop. But no guard stood at the gate, and the door to the palace was open. I stepped inside. It was full of people, but every person I saw was frozen, as still as ice. None of them blinked, none of them moved, none of them breathed. And when I came to the throne room, I knew I had found King Frost and Queen Snow frozen where they stood. The queen had a horrible look on her face. She was bent over as if trying to get out her last words with one arm pointed back behind her at an open door. I crept to the door and I looked up. A spiral staircase went up and up into the darkness of a tower. What could I do but climb? When I came to the top, I peered through the keyhole, and on the other side I saw her. The Ice Witch, the daughter of the Ice Trolls from the beginning of the world. Her nose was like one long icicle that had begun to melt. It curved down in front of her face and almost touched her pointed chin. Her teeth were sharp as daggers. Her hair stood out like branches covered after an ice storm. And in her hand was a wand with the most beautiful snowflake I had ever seen. With a cry, she swung that snowflake and a shower of snow flew out. And I saw how all of the people had been turned to ice. It made me afraid. It made me cold right to my very bones. So I pulled on the two snow-white mittens my grandmother had made. I had one piece of the pepper cocker left. No one could resist my grandmother's pepper cocker. But what about an ice witch? I knocked 3 times. And all of a sudden, the door exploded in a shower of ice crystals, and there she was, the ice witch, looking at me. Little Tomte, she said, little Tomte, I know who you are. I know why you have come. And you are a fool if you think I will give up the first snowflake of winter. She raised her wand as if to turn me into yet another frozen statue, when suddenly her enormous nostrils began to quiver. What? What? She said. What is that smell? This is a ginger cookie, I said, made by my grandmother. Give it to me, she cried. And she lunged at me, but I snatched it back. I will trade it to you for the first snowflake of winter. You will trade it with me? She laughed. You don't know the power that this holds. You are too small, too weak. Fine, have it your way. And she thrust it at me and lunged again for the pepper cocker. I was so surprised that I let it fly into the air. And time slowed down as I watched her claw-like fingers close around it. But the wind perhaps had gotten his breath back, for the little piece of ginger cookie suddenly rose in the air, and she missed it. Ha! She lunged again, and again she missed. Again, and again, and again, until at last she leapt off the ground, reaching with both hands, and she disappeared, out through the open window, down into the second layer of clouds below. I stood at the window in amazement. There in one hand I held the first snowflake of winter. I had defeated the Ice Witch and... Suddenly my fingers began to grow so cold I could not move them. I could not let go of the first snowflake of winter. I tried and I tried, and then without knowing what I was doing, I pulled off the mitten and I flung it out the window, out, out into the clouds. Gone. When I walked back through the throne room, I could not look at the frozen faces of the king and the queen. I could not look at the people who would never be returned to life. I pushed open the door, and something wet landed on my cheek. I looked up, and there, falling out of the sky, what did I see but snow? Snowflakes as big as dinner plates were whirling out of the clouds, and now the wind pushed them in through the open palace door. One by one, they alighted on the frozen figures, and the people began to melt. They began to drip and crack. They blinked. The color came back into their faces. And when King Frost and Queen Snow had been returned to themselves, they called the first snowflake of winter back from the sky. They summoned the snowflakes, and they sent us off together. We flew past the night and the day, past the sun and the moon and the stars, over the abyss at the edge of the world, and we covered the ground below us with white. We did not stop until we came to a little cottage covered with snow, with wood smoke curling sweetly up from its chimney, carrying with it the familiar, the irresistible smell of my grandmother's gingerbread.